reason, I'm here instead of Barry. But anyway, as we get started today, we're going to continue with his creation. It doesn't want to go to my slide. There we go. Going to continue with the creation theme. We're going to be talking about God is a God of order and how he brought order out of chaos. And we're going to be looking at that in our lesson of Genesis, but also we're going to look at it later in the New Testament when he brings order to our lives out of the chaos that we had. So as we get started here, isn't it right? All right. I'm going to start with this opening verse because it definitely starts with the chaos that's there at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The chaoticness is about to change. But the whole thing is the Spirit, you know, is there involved at the very beginning. And we know that Jesus is involved at the very beginning because John tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. And God spoke all of his commandments through his word. So all three of what we call the Trinity were all working together to bring about this creation. Now I'd like for us to look at a couple of definitions. Chaos, a state of utter confusion. Number one, this is from the Marion book of the dictionary. Also, often capitalized, a state of things in which chance is supremely, especially the confused, unorganized state of primordial matter before the creation of distinct forms, which is basically what the evolutionists say was out there too. There was nothing. And then when the earth was actually formed, we had this primordial mess that was here. And out of that, life spontaneously, chance brought about life on this planet. That's what the scientists of the world today say. There are some who come at it from a God's point of view and say, we can look at that same evidence and come away with a completely different way things happen. Because we weren't there to watch it, and neither were you. And then we have the inherited unpredictability in the behavior of the complex natural system. In other words, once it was created, we have an atmosphere. What happens in the atmosphere sometimes? We have the chaos of a storm. When you're out on the sea, you think everything is just so chaotic in the middle of a hurricane because you got waves, you got wind, you don't know if you're going to live or die. It just is chaotic. And it's in our system. And I want us to realize that all of this is going to be brought to us as humans at the end of my sermon. Not only is creation this way, but our lives have been that way also. And then another definition I want us to look at is, when I say this is, God is a God of order. He puts in order to arrange, to give an order, to command. And he definitely did that when he spoke creation, spoke the world into existence. To bring about order, to regulate. In other words, you have order, but to keep it going, to keep that process ongoing over the whole period of life itself. And those are the two definitions I want us to look at as we start into our lessons now and start looking at creation. When God said, then God said, let there be an expanse between the waters, separating waters from waters. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the waters above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. So remember we had that formless void and darkness? Well, on the first day he brought the darkness and brought light out and darkness. He had two parts and he had day and night. And we're going to see that that part of that order that is developed at every one of these, evening and morning, it's a cycle. It starts the orderness, our day, our week, our so forth, how we tell time. Order is brought into existence. And here, he's starting to separate. The first few things of creation is separation. Bring it out of the other. Out of the emptiness, he brought, and out of the waters, he separated those waters and brought a sky. So we have clouds in the sky, the water underneath. And the evening came and morning, that was the second day. He's bringing order to his creation. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now he has all that water that was separated down below the sky. He separates it. The dry land comes forth. When you look at the way that scientists say today, they say water came after the dry land. The dry land was here and the water came from comets and things coming, watery comets coming down and developing, covering the earth with water. God tells us in his story, the water was here and out of it, he brought forth the dry land. Helps to signify what water is all about. Without water, there is no life. And that's why Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the water of life. And so this water, there's a lot of things about water. You know, it's the only element that when it becomes a solid, we call it freezing, actually floats on itself. The only other element that actually freezes is alcohol, but it won't freeze, it won't float on the same alcohol it is the ice of. It has to be a different type of alcohol. Water is the only thing like that. But you know why? What if you're a fish in a lake and we get a real cold spell? What happens? Water freezes, the whole lake gets solid. There's no place for the fish to swim. The top layer freezes, insulates the bottom, and the fish can stay there and be alive the whole winter. It's the only thing like that in the elements. It's a special element. It's life-giving. He calls that good. We go on to the next one we want to look at. Then God said, let the earth produce vegetation. All right, now comes the plants. Not just grass, but trees and shrubs, everything. Let the earth bring forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit and seed in accordance with their kind. And it was so. Now you notice what he says there? In accordance with their kind. It wasn't this first one cell plant, and then a bigger plant, and then a bigger plant, each plant producing a different plant all through evolution, each plant brings about its own plant. You go out and plant corn seed, what do you expect to get? Corn. You go out and plant a peach seed, what do you expect? Peach. If you go to a peach tree, you don't expect to find grapes on it either, do you? So that the grapes then could make, no, it's going to be a peach. Everything has an order about it. And it's been that way since mankind can remember. Nothing has changed along this line. In accordance with their kind, and it was so, the earth producing vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kind, and trees bearing fruits and seeds in accordance with their kind, and God saw that it was good. Evening came and morning, the third day. I want to point, in the Hebrew language and Hebrew culture, day starts at sundown. Night's the last part of day. We have it backwards, don't we? We say daytime is where the light is, and then we have night, and the next day starts. No, but in Hebrew culture, the nighttime is the beginning part, because in creation, there was darkness. And out of darkness, what did God create? Light. Thought about light. So their day has that sequence to it. Night, day. Just wanted to point that out. So here we are now, continuing with that same day. We had the trees. Fourth day, which I don't have a slide for. I'm just going to mention it. It's where he puts the sun in the sky and the moon, but all the stars. And later on, we even see places where he says, can you put the belt on Orion? Can you count the stars in the Pleiades? He knows, he called them by their names. He put them there, and he called them by name, just like our song that we sang. Calls them by name. Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the sea across the expanse of the sky. So he has made the birds and the fish. And again, he's going to tell them to be fruitful, multiply. And you know what? They multiply after their kind. They don't develop into something different. God saw it. He put it in order. It has an order to it. We expect certain things to happen when we have this situation. When we have a dog, and we breed that dog, we expect a dog. Not a cat, not a giraffe, not anything else. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the sea and let the birds multiply in the earth. And evening came, and there was morning, the fifth day. And then the sixth day, we have animals and mankind. And we can see the same thing happening again. He tells them to be fruitful and to multiply. And when they multiply, they're going to bring about their own kind. And then he puts man here and tells us we are taking care of it all. We're watching over it all. That's our responsibility. Take care of it. You're the caretakers of it. But he also tells us to be fruitful and multiply after our kind and fill the earth. But the problem is, mankind blew their part. Unlike the animals, we had a brain, we had free will, and we decided We don't need God. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm going to listen to my own brain. I'm going to listen to my own thoughts. And they looked at that tree and they thought it was good to the eye and pleasing. So they took a bite. And it didn't matter that God had told them not to. They did it anyway. And here we are, back in that state of chaotic confusion. You can look at the world around us and see that man is definitely in a chaotic confusion mess. Even in our own country, what do they expect when they kick God out of schools, God out of the government, God out of everything? Our morals, our morals can't be based on biblical teachings. They can't be based on God. No. There's no God. Or if there is, all religions go to the same God anyway, so it doesn't matter. Man is back in a big state of confusion, chaos. But we're going to see that God has planned a way out. But before we do, I want us to look at a couple of things. Y'all back in science in elementary school, remember this? Water cycle. You have the ocean. God put the sun up in the sky. What happens? The water evaporates out of the ocean, goes up, makes clouds, comes over the land, starts to rain, the water comes down, runs back out to the ocean. And some wise guy will say, oh, but what about those lakes out there? They just go down. They don't have an outlet. Well, the water goes through the earth down to the ground, underground water table, and goes back out to the ocean. It's all connected. Same amount of water as here was before. It just continues to recycle itself. So we see that God not only had the order of putting it where it is, but keeps that order sustained by letting it cycle. And that cycle purifies the water as it goes. There's not salt water that goes up into those clouds. It's water that evaporates. All the minerals are left out. It's just H2O that goes up, goes across, and then we have, it's a cycle put in place by God to sustain the life of this planet. Otherwise, the water would get so tinted and filled with minerals, we wouldn't be able to use it. But there's one more cycle, the oxygen cycle. We have the trees out here that are nice and green, and the grass is nice and green. What makes those plants green? The chlorophyll in them. And when the sun reacts with that, what's it make? Called the process is photosynthesis. It takes the carbon dioxide that us humans and animals exhale, our waste, takes it and makes oxygen. You know, if that wasn't the case, once the animals and mankind started multiplying and filling the earth, the oxygen would have been used up and we would have died. But he's maintaining the oxygen on the earth because of all the green plants. It's order in this world, the order that God has set there and put into existence. I liked the psalm that he used at the beginning. I almost thought maybe he had read my notes on my sermon, because when he talked about the Holy Spirit. Because the reason why I chose the water cycle and the oxygen cycle is because the Holy Spirit by Jesus is called the water of life. It's one of his names for the Holy Spirit. The other is the breath of God, the oxygen, the wind. And so I wanted to look at that cycle and see how it's maintained. But you know what that does? That brings a calming effect, doesn't it? When we know that there's a cycle there that replenishes what I'm breathing, we'll say, I can keep breathing. But if that cycle's not there, and we know that maybe this is our last breath, we get frantic. Well, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is about that same idea. He brings order to our life. He brings order to our life. I'd like for us to turn now to Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on things of the flesh. That's all those who don't know Christ. Their mindset is completely different than ours, than those who are Christians, because they don't believe in a God. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on things of the Spirit. So we're not supposed to be thinking about our physical things anymore. That's not the, well, I shouldn't say don't be thinking about it. It's our mindset. Where are our goals? Where are our things that we're putting in front of us? Where is our focus? Our focus should be on God and Christ. The others will fit into that focus as we go through. But the first focus, the overall focus, has to be on God. Now, the mindset of the flesh leads to death, is death. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. It brings about a peaceful calm in our lives when we have our lives focused on Jesus. A lot of the martyrs, when they faced the lions, they weren't like in the movies, show them out there screaming and yelling and running away. When they were put on the cross, there was a calmness to it. Even though they knew they were dying, their picture was, I know I'm going to a better place. There was calm in their lives. When their focus was on the spiritual side. The next part of the Spirit. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. So when we are Christians, when we have accepted Christ and we're living that life, we have been adopted by God. We're his children. He doesn't leave us alone. He's given us a spirit that's inside of us. And what's that spirit doing? Crying out to God on our behalf. Not only is he crying out to God on our behalf, he's got a special relationship with God for us. Abba, a closeness. Jesus says, just like I know the Father and the Father knows me, Jesus says, I know you and you know me. That relationship, that closeness is there because the Spirit has been given to us to help us, to bring order to our lives, to get our mind set where we need to go. And we have this closeness with the Father so that we can call him Father. In the same way, later on in that same chapter, Paul says, verse 26 and 27, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. When we've failed, when we lose that focus, when we get out of that mindset, he's there to help us. Because we do not know what to pray for as we should. When we're in that mindset, we're not thinking about praying. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groans. And he searches the heart. So he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Even when we are out of focus, the Spirit is still there, pulling on us, opening up to a pathway to God, crying out to God. Even when we can't even think of it, we're not even thinking about it, because we're not in the mood to be thinking about it, the Spirit is there communicating with God for us. Then, one more thing. Should be next slide. Yeah, there we go. I want to read from 2 Corinthians 5. We've talked about basically the water cycle and the oxygen cycle with the Spirit being with us, helping us maintain our lives, helping us purify ourselves, keeping us pure as we go through, bringing us back to the source. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. But I also now want to look at the other order that we talked about at the beginning. From now on then, this is chapter 5, verse, starting with verse 16 of 2 Corinthians. From now on then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective, even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective. Yet now we no longer know him this way. We don't know him as that human anymore, because he is the Son of God. That had a purpose. That ended. That purpose was to bring an end to the chaotic mess that man had made. And now we know him as a Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Here we go, folks. We were in chaos. Without God, without Christ, our life was chaotic. It was chaos. Christ brought a new creation into our lives. We are new. A new person. A new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. He's the one who did the work through his death and burial and resurrection. He reconciled us. He bought us back. He redeemed us from that chaotic of us thinking only of ourselves, to bring us back into that relationship with God where we can focus and be aware and do things for God and follow his orders, follow his commands. Reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Just like the animals were told to be fruitful and multiply on the earth, he tells us Christians, those who have been new creation, now it's our turn to tell others about that reconciliation that's there for us to grab, for us to look at, for us to grab a hold of and live by. That reconciliation that God has set in mind, has set in purpose, set in plan, has given us the ministry of that reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God has reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has commanded the message of reconciliation to us. He has commanded. Just remember that what was part of the order? Command. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All along, the Bible tells us our righteousness isn't our righteousness. We can't be righteous enough. The righteousness that we have is the righteousness that Christ has given us, so that we become the righteousness of God to the world around us. That's how the creation now comes full circle back to the human beings that are here on this earth, who messed it up at the beginning. But that same God who brought order to that creation is wanting to bring order to the creation, to the world man. But the way he's doing it is through us. What does the world see in us? I want to end with another question. Reconciled? How do we view ourselves? If we view ourselves as reconciled, then we have a purpose. Our purpose is to help others get reconciled. If we're not reconciled already, then all you got to do is believe in Jesus and be baptized, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. When the people asked Peter what to do, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is to you and to all those who are far off. And I would say we definitely fit in the part that's far off. Been, what, almost 2,000 years. But that's how God wants to reconcile the world, is through us. As we think about that, and we think about who we are and what God has done for us, if you think you might want to, let's say what, worship team, why don't y'all come on up now, worship team.